The National Football League begins its regular season next week on time. That's after resolving a 4.5-month-long labor dispute. The season kicks off Thursday night with the Super Bowl champions, the Green Bay Packers, hosting the New Orleans Saints, not to mention some political football that same night. President's speech aside, we're joined now by sports writer Stefan Fatsis for more on the NFL season. Hiya, Stefan.
Hey, Robert.
And how will the new labor agreement change professional football?
Well, the key element in this deal is how the owners and players are going to divide up the $9 billion and growing annual revenue that the league gets. The old deal was very complicated in terms of what qualified as revenue that could be shared with the players. The new system, which will take effect next year, seems simpler and more equitable. The players are going to get different percentages of different revenue streams: national media, marketing, local team revenue. And another good development for the players, teams will be required to spend between 89 and 99% of the annual salary cap that each team allots for salaries and benefits for the duration of the 10-year labor deal.
So a losing team couldn't sit on the revenue that they're receiving.
Right. I mean, for instance, this year, the Cincinnati Bengals, who are not going to do well, are $30 million under the salary cap. That's not going to happen in the future.
Well, speaking of millions and billions, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Michael Vick just signed a pretty lucrative contract this week.
Yeah, it was reported to be a 6-year, $100 million contract, and the media loves those $100 million numbers. The reality is that it's worth a lot less. $35.5 million guaranteed. A big chunk of the rest is in incentives that Michael Vick is not likely to attain in one instance, unless the Eagles win the Super Bowl finally, which will earn him $3 million. You know, but the media need to stop reporting these bogus contract values. You get these big numbers for accounting reasons inside the team, and then they're given out to the media for the benefit of the agent and the players' egos. Still, it is a pretty good deal for an athlete who spent 19 months in prison after being implicated in dogfighting operations. A large chunk of Michael Vick's income, though, it should be said, will go to paying off creditors who are owed $19 million after Vick filed for bankruptcy protection while he was in prison.
Well, still talking about quarterbacks, several were selected near the top of the NFL draft, and that includes, of course, the number one pick, Cam Newton. How have they been faring so far in the preseason?
Two of these guys are going to start. Newton, he had this brilliant but controversial final season and where he won a national championship and the Heisman Trophy at Auburn. He's going to start for the Carolina Panthers, not a team that's projected to do very well this year. Time will tell whether he won the job based on his ability or because he's going to sell some tickets. The other starter is Andy Dalton, who's with the Bengals. As for the other early picks in the draft, Jake Locker, he's with Tennessee, Blaine Gabbert in Jacksonville, Christian Ponder in Minnesota. They're going to get the usual rookie grooming. They're probably not going to see the field.
Another football topic, concussions have continued to be in the news in football. Has the NFL taken any further steps before this season?
You know, they have, and this hasn't received a lot of attention. The website Pro Football Talk yesterday reported that the league sent out a memo to all 32 teams reiterating some new guidelines for evaluating and treating players who are suspected of sustaining or who are diagnosed with concussions during games. And one is this new rule suggested by former coach and broadcaster John Madden that a player who's diagnosed with a concussion has to leave the field immediately and be taken to the quiet of the locker room or training room, and he can't return to the field. The memo concludes in uppercase letters, when in doubt, leave them out. The problem has always been getting players and teams to follow sensible health protocols in the heat of games. We'll see if that changes.
Finally, Stefan, that Thursday night scheduling of a football and President Obama's speech. Any exchanges of nasty letters between the White House and the NFL?
You know, there was no need to, Robert, because the president gauged the priorities of the American people and scheduled his speech for 7 p.m. Eastern. So it should actually be done in plenty of time for the NFL's 8:30 kickoff. The White House spokesman Jay Carney actually pointed out that Mr. Obama wants to watch the game, too.
Won't that be cutting into valuable minutes of pregame celebrations?
Including some pregame concerts, which I know we're all looking forward to.
Okay, Stefan, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Robert.
Stefan Fatsis is the author of A Few Seconds of Panic, A Sports Writer Plays in the NFL, and he joins us most Fridays to talk about sports and the business of sports.
All Things Considered continues right after this.